Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Colonization of the Philippines. Mm. I mean, you think about it, you know, as Americans, you know, you think about the Philippines today, you know, you may think of Imelda Marcos. Anybody has any history there that she had lots of shoes?
Lots of shoes.
And she was the president's wife?
I think she was the president, wasn't she?
We don't know. Anyway, so, tell us about, you had a family member that just went down, Arnell, right? Just went to the Philippines. And what was his experience down there? Because I got something I want to share.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. You know, my brother-in-law, Arnell, he loves to travel the world. He's a minimalist, a great physical fitness trainer. And he gets a chance, his business provides him the opportunity to really travel the entire world. And on this trip to Southeast Asia, he went to several countries, one of them being the Philippines. And my wife was just sharing me a story that he had related to her, and I had to get on the phone and talk to her, and I'll say, you know, tell me more about this. But he had an opportunity to be amongst the people. That's what he really enjoys to do, and he's walking in the towns, and we may even have some images for you to see of his trip. And he had a chance to go into a store, and behind the store, he saw some people that were back there.
It was like a Walmart?
No. This is just a little, you know, village type of store. And as he walked behind there, there was these alleyways. And
life is so different. We're so blessed in America, you know.
Completely different. So he's relaying this story about a little girl that he saw, Greg, with a plastic clear container. Looked like just dirty, filthy water. And he's following to see where this young little girl is going and to talk to her parents. And he keeps following her and realizes that she's about to sit down and drink this filthy, dirty water. And he stops and says, no, don't drink it. You know, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? He tries to communicate with her. She says, yes. He starts talking to some of the people that were there. And he says, where are her parents? Where's her mother? And the lady responds and says, well, her mother was killed. She was a prostitute. And her father is not present. And so Arnell asks, well, how does she take care of herself? And she says, like most of these other kids that
terrible.
Are homeless. Like most of these other kids here that are homeless, they find a way to feed themselves. They find a way to take care of themselves. And many of them are kidnapped and sold into sex slavery. And he talked about how he was so overwhelmed with compassion and brokenness, he extended his trip into Philippines. He wasn't going to stay that long. He wound up staying 29 days because he felt compelled to help and be a part and do something. And he's on this 100 tour, 100 Wonders of the World tour. He travels the world, and now he's made it his mission to be able to do what he can to help the sex trafficking victims in the world, those in the Philippines. And he ran into some missionaries that are doing some great work, and maybe we could talk about that more here in a minute. But he said that the poverty was on such a level that he just could not, he had no grit for it whatsoever. He was able to eat for an entire
day. This is today. We're not talking about 500 years ago. We're talking about right today.
He ate an entire day, all three meals, for about a dollar. And he said he was well-fed. For a dollar, and it's basically changed his life forever.
Look at this. This is him when he's there, and as you see, he's obviously seeing the better areas of going on. So you have areas that are I guess
more prosperous,
and then you have this poverty. Did you know what the large area was
in terms of
where he was at in regards to the store and where he saw this.
I don't have the exact location of where he was at because he really toured the entire country. He said of all the countries that he'd been to in Southeast Asia, what he saw in the Philippines was the absolute worst in terms of homelessness amongst the children.
And he's been around.
And so these are firsthand occurrences. And one of the things he said was that he was trying to reach out to some of the young children to help them. And his family member was with him, told him, hey, you can't really do that here because people are really paranoid of these children being kidnapped and taking them away for sex trafficking. It's been happening
a lot. She's actually on the streets already with nobody looking over her. How?
Yeah. Well, it's horrible situation.
Well, they say that, you know, we talked about this in the Pink Room. You got to go back and watch that entire series or listen to it. at VFNTV.com, but that the greatest number of, if you had to pick a number a year that had the most slaves in it, is today. There's more slaves today than has ever been in the history of the world. And it's because of the globalization of the internet, having that ability to communicate around the world. And they are children as women and children as sex slaves, but also just as slaves in general, where people are buying them. And for the value, I mean, I wish I had that for you, but I think that, you know, comparatively speaking, that it years ago, you would buy somebody and it was, they said, this is in China or Korea, I believe it is, North Korea or Cambodia, and said that I believe it was like $10,000 or something at that time. And today, human life, in this day, they said like $75. No, it was actually Billy, it was Franklin Graham with Samaritan's Purse, and he was the one saying that you know, years ago, if the dollar figure is like around $10,000, we'll make the exact stuff available to you on the VFN Torch, but today a human life is valued at $75.
Mm.
And so when you look at this globalization, you know, part of the globalization that's taking place is lots of evil is happening on a global scale. And but the Philippines, when you think about that and some of the pictures that you're seeing here behind us, it makes me think of President Theodore Roosevelt, Ted Roosevelt, who I believe he was the one that came up with the word or the concept of the White House as a bully pulpit. We've talked about that before. And a bully pulpit, you know, the bull moose party. He started like the bull moose party, I believe. So it was just like pushing things through, making things happen, pushing through the waterway that
Panama Canal.
The Panama Canal. He just kind of just, you know, they didn't agree with us, we just kind of like mowed them down and just forced this waterway. And you just look differently at things. I don't know if they didn't have eyes to see. I don't know what the church was being taught at that time. If there were, you know, there's always two things going on at the same time. You have the church and God's folks are doing this. Then you have people, the world's doing its thing at the same time. So you can't identify them as the same. And then you have people that say they're the church. They're really not the church. If they're doing things that are not of God, then it doesn't matter what they say they are. You're known by your fruit, not by what you say. And reports are according to, and I don't know if they've changed this or not, but this is we're going to be talking about the Office of Historian in the government. This is the Office of Historian. And on their site, they're talking about the Philippine-American War in 1899 and 1902, which started during this bully pulpit season of, which, by the way, his cousin is Eleanor, which was the wife of FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that was president during the Great Depression.
Mm.
You know, and for three and a half terms or something of that nature during World War II. And so this bully, and she, you know, she was actually compassionate. It looked like she wanted to start a lot of programs and helped a lot of people and did different things. I don't know. But you always ask ourselves, and we asked ourselves in the pink room, because the pink room, as we begin to talk about that and did some research, you know, why are they selling? The pink room was about this upper room inside this brothel that they would sell children, the virgin little girls, like 8-year-old girl, 6-year-old girl, today's time, they sell her for like $50 or $40 or something.
Mm.
So we could just say, oh, that's terrible. Or we could ask ourselves the question, okay, we know this is happening, it's atrocious, but how could a mother take her girl, her own girl, brush her hair, and send her off and sell her for a refrigerator or whatever like that? How could that happen? And when we traced the whole roots of that, we found out that, wait a minute, her mother was part of the children during Pol Pot's tyrannical, communist, ungodly rule.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to say, why don't we want communism? Well, communism produced the pink room.
Yeah,
that's what it produced. Because when Pol Pot came over Cambodia and he began to take a rule, he killed all the wise people. He killed all the religious people. He killed all the doctors. He You saw there was a movie years ago. It was called The Killing Fields. It was about him. Mm. And they just mass murdered all the people that were smarter than him, basically, you would think about it. And they put everybody out in the agricultural fields, the rice fields, because he thought that it should be an agricultural world. And we're going to go back to the way it was. And so then they grouped together all these kids and said, this is your family now. This is day one. God is dead. And so that's how the Pink Room got there, because these kids back then are the mothers of the children today who's selling them into the Pink Room. They had no values. They had nobody raise them up. They had no God in their own lives. They had no wisdom. They had no teachers. They had nothing. They were valueless. And so evangelizing and going there, as we talked about, as the missionaries are going there, they're teaching values. They're teaching kingdom values. And that's what changes the culture. That's what changes the people. And that's what prevents the Pink Room. So you had to trace that back. You couldn't just say how evil this is. Yes, it's evil, but how did that happen? So the question we want to ask ourselves when we get back from this break is, how did the Philippines get this way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's their problem?
Right.
You know, all these modern conveniences and
right.
all this technology, and after everything that we did for them, you know, so many people
it
say in America.
Get there, right.
Right. And so, but according to reports here now, the Philippines, you know, you look at the things that we know about in our present history has happened since day one. I mean, there's always somebody trying to rule somebody. If you read history, it says this one took over that nation and they made them servants of them. They made them pay tribute and they just ruled them. That's what they did. That's what happened again and again and again. Well, Spain ruled the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Spain ruled the Philippines for all the way up until, I believe, 1898. This particular says on this historian website for the government, they were defeated in the Spanish-American War in 1898, and Spain succeeded to their longtime rule to the United States at the Treaty of Paris. But on February the 4th, 1899, just 2 days before the United States Senate ratified the treaty, fighting broke out between American force and the Filipino nationalists, which led to this whole, what they call an uprising. But was America, was that an uprising against Great Britain?
Right. It's always amazing when another country does it, it's an uprising. When we do it, it's a revolution for
Can
our freedom.
Can you believe what George did?
Yeah.
Washington? Is that what you're talking about? And so they're calling it an uprising, where the Filipino people are going like, we just got broke loose from colonization of Spain.
Yeah.
We don't want to be colonized by America.
Right.
Let's stay free. Now, America saw that, according to reports, as rebellion. And so this battle, this war begins now between America, where 20,000 Filipinos were died in combat and 200,000 died in disease. And 4,200 Americans died in this particular war. But the thing about it is, I mean, you're looking at a picture right now of Battle of Manila. Manila, you can see it right here. That in Manila Bay, that, my goodness, when you look at history, you think, you know, what were we thinking? Because if we just were fresh out of, you know, 1776 and it's like, what, 1899, I mean, we got some, we're about 100, we could still remember what's going on. I mean, granted, they didn't have Google and they couldn't Google what happened 100 years ago. But, you know, and of all the things that they did when they finally clamped down and they began to have this battle, I mean, they're saying their fear was this. This is what they say in this report here in history. They had a fear that if they did not colonize it, if they didn't take it over, then they feared that the Germans or Spain would take it over. So the U.S. colonized it. They made a colonial rule over it, but they said, you know, but eventually, you know, we're going to be able to give them their freedom eventually. But thousands are dead.
Mm.
And it is like, should we have really messed with their government? I mean, you're hearing people today that are talking about this history, and the way they're talking about it is they want to destroy America or something, you know. But we can't deny, it's like somebody going, there's no such thing as dinosaurs. I am standing in the museum right now in Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian. I have some issues with that. I'm looking at this huge dinosaur, Tyrannosaurus Rex bones here. I mean, we got to talk about what really is, but then we got to say, you know, God, what is your perspective on it? You know, what is your perspective on it? And we got to ask the question, just like the Pink Room, did we have anything to do with where the Philippines are today? And can we as the church, as Christians, forget the government, as Christians, can we begin to do things like go into all the world and preach the kingdom of God and begin to watch people get blessed? Because so many people love to win. They say they actually say they're competitive. But the truth is, they're not competitive. They just really love to win.
Right.
Because competitive people are not happy because they had a competition and they lost.
No.
What it is, they want to be first. They want to beat somebody at something. In regards to, as Christians, we got to ask ourselves, you know, are we called to be competitive? Or what is the definition of winning? What is the definition of success?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to let the world define what that is. And, you know, are we supposed to be competitive? I mean, think about that. I'm not talking about, you know, the New Orleans Saints or anything. But I'm talking about.
You wouldn't put the word competitive in them together.
Not anymore. But I do like Drew Brees, and we do want you on the air.
And Benjamin Watson.
Yes, Benjamin. Oh, my goodness. We'd like to have you talk about your post and your viewpoints. So. And what the fear was in the Philippines when Spain lost, you know, the war to America, they had to give up their colonization of the Philippines, which it was free. But the panic came in when America started thinking, reportedly, in history, that if we don't take the Philippines, who will?
Mm.
And if we don't take the Philippines, who's going to take the Philippines, right? And I mean, it's a fear factor. It's like, do we want to win, or we want to be? You hear people talking about today about being the head nation, and you know, the leader of everything.
Superpower.
And, yeah, the superpower and all that. And it's like, well, that might be interesting for the world to do, but for us as the church, I mean, are we really want to be a world power? Is that what we want to do?
Mm.
What do you think about that? Is that what we want? Or do we want to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow the Lord? I mean, think about that.
Mm.
So, I mean, people can do stuff, but if we look at history, and history says we were fearful and we were afraid, so we dominated the Filipino people and we took control over them, and what we did cost thousands of lives. As Christians, we got to really think, is that biblically, is that correct? Should we really done that? The little girl walking with the dirty water that we talked about earlier, whose mother is a prostitute, who is dead, and the father is an alcoholic, and he's saying, don't drink the water. And it's like, should we have said earlier, don't colonize the Philippines?
Mm.
You know, should we? I mean, it's amazing to me. And we always have to think about this because, you know, leadership type people, people that are type A people, that they just think they know how to do everything. And you got to be able to pause and think about it. You're not God. America's not God. Your political party's not God. Your way of seeing things is not God. But God's way is right. His way, he is God. He's in total control. And we need to find out what he is saying. What is his viewpoint of these things? Because there is a kingdom that we're supposed to advance, but it's not the kingdoms of this world.
Mm.
It's the kingdom of God. And we do have a king. Yeah, it's King Jesus. He sits enthroned by an emerald rainbow. You're seeing so much horizontal concepts, you know, over the horizon. There's no vertical viewpoint anymore, it seems like, of things. And a vertical meaning this way versus this way. We already got this way right. If you walk with God, your kingdom, the kingdom of God is within you. You're already walking with God. You're already walking with him already. You have a king. Everything's cool. If you were to, and you will, that your life will end, the moment it ends here, you'll be you'll be present with him. So that's already figured out. The question is it the kingdoms of this world we're supposed to advance, or is it the kingdom of God we're supposed to advance? How many people are so into trying to advance America's kingdom, the concept of America? We want to democratize the world. Mm-hmm. We just want to help the Filipino people better understand democracy. And it's like, how come they're making our shirts today? I mean, why is one particular professor, you know, he's talking about globalism and this new book out that's called The Empire of Cotton for 5,000 Years, History of Cotton and How Things Happen. And he starts off his class by saying, okay, let's have everybody in the classroom, 30, 50 students, whatever it is, look at the shirt tag of the person next to you.
Wow.
And what you find, he says, inevitably, I believe it was like 28 or 30 different countries are represented in that room because they've made the shirts that the Americans wear on their backs. If democracy means you become a servant to us so we can have low-priced products at Walmart, now that might be a kingdom of the world viewpoint and people can do all those things. But as Christians, we got to say, is it all right to enslave a people that produces an environment, an economy in the Philippines that causes this little girl's mother to end up selling herself into prostitution, a father to give up on life and become an alcoholic, and her to walk down the street with dirty water? I serve a God that says, this ain't good. Because he says, you know, it'll be just like this in the last days. It's going to be like an accountant. It's going to be like an audit. You know, our lives are going to be like an audit going on. And this king, he's going to come, he's going to look at his subjects, and he's going to say, you know, he's going to divide us like sheep and goats. And the sheep's going to be on one side, and the goats are going to be on the other side. I mean, a lot of people are going to be shocked to find out that they're goats. And these guys, he's talking about the shock and awe that was taking place. And he's telling us in advance that we can decide which side do we want to be on today. That's what's so cool about it. He's telling us that we already know the news. We're just trying to change the news in your life. Let you become a sheep and not a goat. And so you have goat nations and sheep nations. You have these different things going on. So what was the deciding factor? What determined? Because the people that were goats, that was divided on the goat side, they were going to go to hell. Hell's real. Hell's hot. Hell's forever. And that's where they were going to go. We know this in advance, so we can choose not to go to hell. We can choose that. And this is the deciding factor. This is what he said. He said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me something to drink. When I was sick, you didn't visit me. When I was in jail, you didn't come and visit me. You didn't pray for me. You weren't there for me. You didn't care about me. And they say, the goats go this. They say, listen. And I love these people that move in pride. They want you to explain everything. And they're talking to God. They say they're going to confront God. They're going to say, listen, you tell me where I missed you. Don't you love those people? I'll tell you why I'm right. Instead, it's like, listen, just listen. Humble yourself and listen. But this is what they're going to say to God. They're going to say, you tell me where I missed you, where I saw you thirsty, where I saw you hungry. You know, that's what they're going to do. And he's going to say, whatever you did to this little girl in the Philippines, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, or whatever you didn't do to this girl in the Philippines, whatever you didn't to, you know, one half of the world's population right now is living on $2.50 a day. And we're worried, the richest nation in the world is worried about capitalism and worried about economies. It's like we have to fall a long ways to get to $2.50 a day. While this little girl's walking the streets. And this is what he's going to say. He's going to say, whatever you didn't do to the least of these of mine, you didn't do to me. Away from me, you evildoer. So an evildoer is someone that only does for themselves. An evildoer is not necessarily someone who goes around beating on folks and all that. He could define an evildoer as someone who only does for themselves, who doesn't look for God, who doesn't understand that men are created in the image and the likeness of God. And it's real hard to do. When you're in America right now, it's such a idolatrous environment. It's so eye-focused. I mean, you think about it. We even have products called eye. And it's like, you know, when you think about this, you're thinking, my goodness, how do we get to this particular girl and help her out? And if you do help her out, if you do help out those in need, and realize in America, our poorest people in America, our poorest is richer than 70% approximately of the world's entire population. In other words, just like John was saying, that his brother-in-law was able to eat an entire day's meal for a dollar. So imagine what you could do with that Starbucks money. Imagine what you could do given a few dollars. Imagine what you would do if you decided to say, I am going to partner with VFN TV so we can be a force to be reckoned with. So when Jesus comes back, we would be like a sheep. When he says, whenever I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Whenever I was hungry, you fed me. Whenever I was being oppressed, you made sure that everybody knew about it through VFN TV's daily program so they could know and respond. You were proactive. You were there. And he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It matters. We're only 4% of the world's population. There's somebody's making that shirt at Walmart. Somebody's doing it. We've got to begin to really ponder this. Yes, there is the kingdoms of this world. That was what was offered to Jesus. Jesus was told by Lucifer when he was tempted in Luke chapter 4. He said, listen, he said, if you bow down to me, if you worship me, he says, these kingdoms, they were given to me, and I'll give them to you if you worship me. Jesus didn't say you're a liar, Satan. He said, I'm not going to do it. What does that mean? That means when Adam fell, everybody fell. At that point, things were turned over to darkness. And it's light. The light of Jesus came into the world. And when the king came into the world, King Jesus, remember, he's a king that was born. That's when the kingdom of God came. And so the kingdom we should be focusing on is the kingdom that's within every believer. Mm-hmm. And we're to advance the kingdom of God and to go into all the world to preach this awesome reality of the kingdom of God. The hope for the Philippines and the hope for America is the same hope, which is the kingdom of God. There is an answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ and an awakened church.
You're doing?
I'm packing my things.
Where are you going?
I'm going to the Hope House.
Why are you choosing tonight to pack your things and come to the Hope House?
Because I'm ready for a new life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm helping my sister come home.
Yes.
Dad said it was time for his girls to come back home, for his daughters, and that's what we're doing. It's all about kingdom. This is what kingdom's about. It's so amazing.
Feeling new. Oh, I'm not scared, I'm excited. Just all the excitement. Something wonderful is about to happen.
Amen.
And it's actually happening.
Right now.
Right now.
Ace is important. Hear the trumpets.
So what it's all about.
Yes.
You know, despite what Teddy Roosevelt did, what America did at that particular time, you know, this is what the church is supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. America is not the church, and the church is not America. America is a Christian nation. It's built on Judeo-Christian values, but the church is the church. The mm-hmm. church is the body of Christ. And no matter what government there is, because it's a global church, we have more believers probably in, definitely in China and India put together than anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bigger part of the church is in that area. So you're looking at, that's the kingdom. When she's talking about this is the kingdom of God and that daddy wanted her home, her father wanted her home, that's Father God, Father of us all. He said, when you pray, pray our Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. The answer is not a political answer. The answer is for you to say, you know what, God? You know what? Here I am. I don't know how much life you've given me between now and the time I'm going to be with you fully forever, but I want to spend the rest of it in your business. I want to be in the Father's business. Mm. I don't care if I'm going to be in the business part of culture. I'm going to do that for you as unto the Lord. And I'm going to believe for millions of dollars so I can sow millions of dollars into your kingdom, because I'm going to be in heaven with quadrillions of dollars worth of value of gold. So money's not the issue. It's what I can do with it now. If it's in arts and entertainment, I'm going to pray, dear God, you know, help me use my gift in that arts and entertainment aspect of culture. If it's media, if it's education, if it's family, if it's I'm called to be a pastor, I just want to spend the rest of my life rescuing people as brands from the fire, you know what I'm saying? Just rescuing people, because that's what matters. You know, that's the sheep versus the goat.
Yeah.
And whatever we're not doing, whatever you have not done for someone this week, you have not done for God. Whatever you have not done for someone this month, you have not done for God. Whatever you've not done for someone this last year, you have not done for God. I mean, we've got to change our mindsets, because so many people, I remember somebody posted once on one of our things, and you know, we have all the social Facebooks and all that kind of stuff, and somebody, they posted a thing about politics or something. They said, this is God's party. And it's like, you know, what are you talking about? You were so integrated in your culture that you believe that God's become your culture.
Mm.
But God's above all this. I mean, even Lucifer offered God, Jesus, the kingdoms of this world. He didn't get... He wasn't going like, oh, we got to have a kingdom here. I mean, we got to have a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He understood that he was king and he had a kingdom, and it was the Father's kingdom, and he was to advance that kingdom. He says, some people are going to tell you that the kingdom's over there, or to your left, it's over there. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. Don't fall for that. Don't go out there. Don't buy into that political persuasion. He said, for the kingdom of God is within you. God dwells inside of believers. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to go and advance his kingdom. That's what we're called to do. We're called to go out there and make a difference. And I'll tell you now, we have people right now in Haiti that are saying, will you stand with us? I believe 50% of the population there is like 17 years old and under. We could say, that's terrible. Or we could say, how did they get there?
Mm-hmm.
That have anything to do with the Louisiana Purchase, that have anything to do with the global empire of cotton, that have to do with the textile ministries in Great Britain, did it have anything to do with capitalism? I mean, you know, we can ask ourselves all these questions. It's like, let's just go in there and rescue these guys. You know, bad things happen to human beings because Lucifer hates you, because you're made in the image and the likeness of God. But God loves you. God will rescue you. God will heal you. God is for you. But right now, we need you to stand with us. We have so much we want to do in the kingdom of God, but we need you to stand up and partner with us. We're having to say to Haiti right now, just a minute, give us a moment. You know, we got to get some things together. And what we need you, our audience, to say, you know what? Together we can do this thing. And you know what? You'll have the cameras going there of VFN TV and our embedded reporters letting you know how you are making a difference. We have great vision, kingdom vision, for that to take place, but we first have to get the church out of the kingdoms of this world and say, you know what? I'm ready to advance the kingdom of God. You can do that becoming a partner financially every single month. We've got a lot of great stuff for you, but listen, you're an American. You don't need that much if you're an American, right? You're already the richest person in the world.
That's right.
We've got some stuff just to say thank you, lots of stuff to say thank you. We feel very, we think you're very special when you partner, because you say, I want to go help these people. I want to be able to advance the kingdom. I want to speak truth in a time that very little truth is spoken. You know, I want to be able to be a firebrand of hope in the midst of great deception. And God has given us that opportunity. And just so you know, I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know how long it's going to last, but this is your opportunity today, and you have to seize the opportunity and the lifetime of the opportunity. Listen, there's plenty of people that would love to shut down the First Amendment. They would love to shut down the freedom of press. They would love to shut down, you know, with net neutrality and control all media through that net neutrality that we talked about. But today, are you going to be a sheep today, right?
That's
are you
right.
going to make a decision today? It's what we do today during the opportunity. And I would encourage you, go to VFNTV.com, click on partner, say, you know what, I want a partner every single month. I want to be a part of this. There is hope. New leadership is coming. Great hope is coming to the world, and I can be a part of it by partnering with VFNTV. Why? It's not enough to know the truth. You need to know what to do with the truth that you know. And we already know the news. We're just trying to change it. God is telling us what's coming if we don't change it. We say, dear Lord, I pray that it would change. Let's just pray. John, would you lead us in prayer for our audience?
Lord, we just thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord, for what you're doing on the face of the earth, Lord. We thank you that we, God, can stand together in unity, Lord, for your kingdom. Father, we pray that no matter what people try to do in this world to control outcomes and to control people, we thank you, Lord, that heaven is your throne, the earth is your footstool, and you are still in control. Yes. We ask you to touch all the people in the nations in the world, including those in the Philippines, God,
yes,
those
Haiti.
In Haiti. Yes. And Lord, help those that are suffering, those that